Happy Friday. Hope you're fresh after the off day yesterday. Let's open up the mailbag and get ready for the Nationals coming to town.
You are Locked On Brewers, your daily Milwaukee Brewers podcast. Part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
Good morning, everybody. My name is Dominic Catronio. This is Locked On Brewers, and thanks for making us your first listen of the day. If you haven't already, hit that subscribe button, whether it's on YouTube, whether it's right here, wherever you're getting your podcast. We post daily, Monday through Friday, your only daily podcast dedicated to the Milwaukee Brewers. I'm the statistician for Bally Sports Wisconsin at virtually every single game, bringing you all the news and nuggets you want to know about your brew crew here in the 2022 season. So we decided with the off day yesterday, let's go ahead and open up the mailbag. Everybody's still feeling good about the walk-off win on Wednesday against the Braves. Keston Hira is still the hero. But before we jump into the mailbag, we want to, there is some news regarding the Brewers and regarding the roster. In fact, yesterday on the off day, the Brewers made a roster move, opening up a 40-man roster spot. Alec Bettinger was outrighted to AAA. Now, if that doesn't sound normal to you, outrighted just basically means he was taken off the 40-man roster. It means he has to clear waivers before doing so. So any other team has an option to pick up Alec Bettinger if they so wish. But he did clear waivers. He is still in the organization down in AAA, but he is now not on the 40-man roster. So currently, the roster is sitting at 37 guys. The reason why that's misleading is for two reasons. Number one, Andrew McCutchen still technically being on the COVID IL at the time of recording. Of course, I recorded these the night before, so we expect him to be activated today at the latest tomorrow. When he gets activated off the COVID IL, his temporary status off the 40-man will be reinstated. So then the 40-man roster will go back to 38. And then the other reason is because suspended players don't count to your 40-man roster. So Severino and Mejia, currently being suspended for PEDs, they do not count toward your current 40-man roster. However, when they are reinstated, they will be back on the 40-man roster. So that's two spots technically available during their suspensions. And we're already halfway through Severino's suspension of 80 games. Mejia has just started this week, so we won't even see him until August at the soonest, whereas Severino will be back coming up in July. Now, where does this all this lead into? Ethan Small was scratched from his start on Wednesday with Nashville. Doesn't seem like he's coming up imminently, and this is actually a question I'm going to get into a little bit, but if you did see that headline, I wouldn't read too much into it, because now I could be eating my words by the time you're listening to this, and the Brewers are announcing that Ethan Small is being called up. In fact, Craig Counsell was asked about Ethan Small earlier this week about his performance so far in AAA and things like that, but the Brewers are at a crossroads right now where they need middle relief help, and this will jump into our mailbag, but do they want to keep Ethan Small as a starter? Slash, is Aaron Ashby a legitimate middle reliever, or is he going to be a tandem starter like we've been seeing him doing lately with Brandon Woodruff? This is the crossroads that the Brewers are trying to figure out, and it gets a little more complicated in just a little bit. So before we jump in, the reminder that tonight Brewers are at home, three-game homestand kicking off, home series, I should say, kicking off against the Washington Nationals. If you haven't been watching much baseball this year, the Nationals are not very good. The Nationals are tearing it down. They have not had a great season, to say the least. And it's a weird year. Even Nelson Cruz hasn't performed like they had hoped out of him. Juan Soto is now in the subject of trade rumors right now. So right now, the Nationals are 13-26. Coming into play today. Not great. Brewers stomped them in the series they last saw them in Milwaukee last season. It's tough sledding for Davey Martinez and Mike Rizzo right now over there in our nation's capital, but they do have one of the most exciting players in baseball in Juan Soto. So Soto, yes, he's only hitting 250. He's got a 393 on-base percentage. He's hit eight homers. This is the craziest stat of the year. Soto has hit eight home runs this year. He's only got 11 runs batted in. Think about that for a second. Eight homers, 11 runs batted in. It's kind of like Bryce Harper last year. Bryce Harper led the National League in solo home runs, and the same thing is happening right now to Juan Soto. As I'm pulling up his home run log right now, and reminder, he's only 23 years old. He's played in every game so far for the Nationals this season. He has been a superstar, to say the least, in the making. And this season, when it comes to solo homers, all but one of his home runs this year have been a solo homer. Poor guy. Tough go of it for Soto. See if he's going to be subject to trade rumors. Another guy subject to trade rumors is Josh Bell. He's somebody that Vinny and I actually linked to the Brewers during the offseason, given this is the final year of his contract. He's due to be a free agent next year. But hey, Rowdy Tellez has been performing. Josh Bell is performing great this year too. He's got a 316 average, 4 homers, 22 runs batted in. But again, the Nationals do not have much pitching. They are 13-26. It'll be Eric Fetty getting the start against Eric Lauer. Fetty this year is 2-2, a 4.24 ERA, 34 innings, 33 hits allowed, a whip of 1.5 flat, 18 walks and 32 strikeouts in those 34 innings. Gives up a lot of hits. He's 29 years old, a former first-round pick of the Nationals out of UNLV back in 2014, and so far in the big leagues, it has not really panned out for him for a first-round pick. Last year, he gave up 23 home runs with the Nationals. In fact, he gave up 10 in the shortened 2020 season in just 50 innings. So Brewers should be getting the ball in play today. Eric Lauer trying to bounce back with the Zoom ball against the Nats. So 7-10 tonight, 6-10 tomorrow. It'll be Patrick Corbin against Brandon Woodruff tomorrow. And then on Sunday, it'll be Anibal Sanchez going against Freddy Peralta, who's coming off of his tremendous go of things on Monday against the Braves. That's a look ahead at the series. Let's get a couple questions in on this mailbag. First question is kind of the most pressing question, right? Center field. What the heck are the Brewers going to do with immediate improvement in center field? The question came from Cody. What are the Brewers looking to do? Is there an internal improvement in center field? The answer is simple. It's Tyrone Taylor's job to lose. And we said it was Keston Hira's job to lose the DH spot, and well, he lost it. The Brewers went out and signed Andrew McCutchen. So it's Tyrone Taylor's spot to lose if he is going to be getting playing time, the majority of playing time in the outfield. We were expecting McCutchen to be back today. So Tyrone Taylor's playing time could take a dip if they still want to put Lorenzo Cain in center field. They're obviously not going to be DHing Lorenzo Cain. So Tyrone Taylor finds himself in a weird spot. Is he going to be playing at least 4 days a week as the center fielder or filling in right field as occasion with Lorenzo Cain playing center field with him, or if he's filling in on left field on a day that maybe they're facing a lefty and McCutchen is playing DH and Yelich has the day off, things like that. It's Tyrone Taylor, in my opinion, is the internal solution. Looking at the advanced numbers for Tyrone, his barrel rate is pretty much the same as it was last year. His expecting batting average, he's actually been robbed so far this year. His actual batting average is .214. His expected batting average is .271. So he's been hitting the ball hard. In fact, he's increased his hard hit rate this season to 44%. So he's doing his end of the bargain, like we've talked about with Rowdy Tellez and Christian Yelich and Willy Adames. You hit the ball hard and good things happen. And for Tyrone, maybe it's just not quite a big enough sample size for him yet this season for him to have the opportunities for these baseballs to fall. There is one concern right now for Tyrone. It's the amount of swing and miss in his game. His whiff rate has increased this season by 5 points to 28%. He struck out a little bit. He's never really been a walks guy, though, so I wouldn't expect them at that out of him. But for me, it's Tyrone Taylor. You got to give him a chance. Doesn't necessarily have to play every day, but let's say you have 7 games in a week. In my opinion, he should be playing 5 of them, you know, minimum 4. But he should be playing the majority of the games in center field to get a fair, good look at him as Lorenzo Cain prepares to wrap things up. And then he can use Lorenzo Cain as a defensive improvement off the bench. And Tyrone is a league average defender. He did make a great play against Atlanta on Tuesday. He's got great speed still too. So I, in my opinion, it's Tyrone Taylor. If you want to make a trade, if you want to get a little fancy, Andrew Benintendi's due to be a free agent. Granted, he's not a center fielder, which makes things a little interesting. Do you keep Kane and just try to add some offense with Benintendi? Ramon Laureano is a name that I have thrown out there trying to see if he would be available. If you want to take an oft-injured guy that has a ton of control left but is kind of shaky of what you're getting, Kyle Lewis. The Mariners seem to be pretty full right now in the outfield with Haniger and Lewis on his way back, still rehabbing right now. Julio Rodriguez, Jesse Winker. So maybe Kyle Lewis is a guy they don't lose, but that's just a name that I had thought of earlier this week. The Astros have two guys in center field. Jake Myers is on his way back right now. Remember, he hurt his shoulder in the playoffs last year. They have Chaz McCormick in center field, who's a cheaper option for center field that gives a little bit of pop, but another right-handed bat, which is maybe something the Brewers want to avoid. These are just names I'm throwing out there. I don't think they're going to make a trade for center field. And when you look at the free agents to be next season that are actually center fielders, none of the names are impressive. They're all over the age of 30, 32 years old. It's center field is such a hard market because the good ones are locked up. The good ones are in long-term deals right now. So center fielders don't grow on trees is what I'm trying to say. Let's keep on moving on with your questions. Before we do that, I want to tell you about Built Bar. We talked about these awesome brownie batter puffs, man. They are incredible. Look, I love brownies. Okay, sweets, I'm not a huge sweets guy, but brownies are like my weakness. Sometimes I can just go crazy for just the batter, and Built made the perfect thing for me. It's the Built Bar Brownie Batter Puffs. It's 150 calories, 17 grams of protein, and only 7 grams of sugar, and it's a sweet treat. It's actually something you can end your day with for dessert and actually enjoy eating, or it can be that quick post-walk snack after a beautiful day out in the outdoors. I was walking around downtown yesterday. It was beautiful out yesterday. Popped in a Built Bar in my backpack and was on with my day walking down by the lakefront. Built Bar has you covered all summer long, whether it be the bars, whether it be the puffs. You're going to get something delicious and nutritious for you. And you can try them out at built.com. Use our promo code, which is LOCKED15, to get 15% off your order. You can get the brownie batter puffs. You can get the birthday cake puffs. You can get whatever you want at built.com. Just use our promo code LOCKED15 for 15% off. Mailbag. A fun question from Bill. There's a lot of misconstrued information, I think, on when the roof is open and when the roof is closed. Is there an advantage to the panels being open, the roof being open, etc., etc.? I don't have it specifically on just the panels being open and the roof being closed and vice versa, but generally the panels are open when the roof is open. Baseball Savant actually keeps park factors for dome stadiums when they are open and when they are closed. And over the last 3 seasons, you can do rolling years. So for the 2021 rolling 3 years, and I'm only using full seasons too. So 2021, 2019, 2018, the rolling 3 full seasons. With the roof open, the homer advantage has been about 5 points higher. And if you're not understanding how park factors work, it's simply this. 100 is league average. 100 is a fair ballpark according to the rest of the league. Anything above 100 favors the hitter. Anything below 100 favors the pitcher. So, generally, American Family Field has historically slightly favored hitters, and especially so with the roof open. Home runs, specifically their park factor over the last 3 years, is 109, 110, and 111. Whereas with it closed, it's 104, 105, 106. So, a smooth 5-point park factor difference when positively when the roof is open and negatively when the roof is closed. However, it's still an above-average hitter's ballpark when the roof is closed. It's a friendly hitter's ballpark. Keep that in mind as summer is near. I wonder how much the roof is going to be open this weekend given the weather in the forecast with the Nationals coming to town. Good question, though, Bill. I wanted to clear that up for a long time now. Shout out to Baseball Savant. Next question from Nick. What's going on with Nelson Cruz? Seen him linked to the Brewers. Is this fake news? Nick, it's fake news. Nelson Cruz is not coming to the Brewers. Andrew McCutchen is your DH. Next question. Who is going to eat the middle innings? So this also comes from Nick. So right now, obviously, this is a big problem. And I've talked about this all week on the podcast, trying to figure out who's going to be the guy to fill in with the absences of Jake Cousin, now the suspension of JC Mejia, the injury to Jandel Gustave. Brewers are a little thin in that middle relief role. The immediate guy who's going to fill these innings is Brent Suter. So Suter, they saved him in yesterday's game. He was going to pitch in Tuesday night's game, saved him in case he needed him yesterday, so now he can go in extended relief if need be. But also a reminder, the Brewers are in an odd situation, different than most clubs. 1 through 5, and let's say 1 through 6, if you include Aaron Ashby in the starting rotation. There's never a day that you expect a guy, I mean, that's the whole point of middle relief, you never expect a guy to go 4 or 5 innings, but you can truly say you expect the Brewers to get 6 innings out of their starter every single night. They're that good. So the Brewers, if there's an area they can be a little thin in, it's middle relief. Trevor Gott has filled in admirably to get to that seventh inning. We've seen him in the sixth inning quite a bit. He's been the fireman, leaving inherited runners stranded. Trevor Gott has been low-key, kind of one of the most underrated players on this team right now. So Trevor Gott in the immediate. But I want to go a little deeper into this because a reminder that in 9 days, the roster changes again. So remember, on May 2nd, the roster shrunk from 28 players to 26 players. And now, on May 29th, after May 29th, the roster will have to change its pitching setup. You can only have a maximum of 13 pitchers. Right now, the Brewers are carrying 14 pitchers. And you may be asking, so how does this affect them? Well, if you have a five-man permanent rotation, right? The permanent rotation of Burns, Woodruff, Peralta, Lauer, and Hauser. Okay, there's your five. You add in Aaron Ashby, that's a sixth, okay? So we can only have 13 guys, right? So there's six right there. Then you go to your A bullpen, Hader, Williams, Boxberger, okay? So that's nine guys right there. Well, Trevor Gott's been great, that's 10 guys right there. Oh, I need a lefty, Brent Suter, that's 11 guys right there. So you are stuck in this predicament. You have two spots available for the likes of Hobie Milner, Luis Perdomo, Jhonel Gustave, who's currently on the injured list, Jake Cousins potentially returning in July. Justin Topa may be starting a rehab assignment in the next few weeks. He could be on the way back as well. And you're only going to get two more spots to fill these guys in a little over a week. So it's going to be very busy in the bullpen room coming up here in the next 2 months. And again, after May 29th, the Brewers can only carry 13 pitchers. I wonder what they're going to do, and it brings us back to the Ethan Small point we brought up a little bit ago. Ethan Small in AAA this year has made 7 starts. He's among the AAA leaders in strikeouts with 46 strikeouts and 32 innings pitched. He does have 21 walks, though, to be fair. It's a little high number on only 32 innings. Crafty lefty out of Mississippi State, 3-1 record, a 1.95 ERA. The Brewers are at this point. Do they want to bring up Ethan Small like they did Aaron Ashby last season? Be the, you know, middle bridge man on occasion when need be in the bullpen and make Aaron Ashby a permanent 6-man in the starting rotation? Or do they keep Ashby in this tandem with Woodruff? These are the decisions in trying to figure out between Matt Arnold, David Stearns, Craig Counsell, and company of what they want to do in Ethan Small's development once he arrives to the major leagues. Do I think Ethan Small is coming to the big leagues this year? Potentially, because he's Rule 5 eligible this coming offseason. If you're not familiar, Rule 5 is a draft where after X number of years, depending on your draft year and depending on your draft status, if you were a college kid or if you were a high school kid, that if you're not placed on the 40-man roster, other teams have a free crack at you. They can add you to their minor league rosters in the Rule 5 draft, but thus you get protected on the 40-man roster. So the 14 guys that aren't on the big league roster are generally in the minor leagues if they're not injured. So the thought with that is you might as well call him up at some point this year because you know you're going to put him on the 40-man this coming offseason. These are other things factoring into the decision of when you bring up Ethan Small and those in situations of that nature. Could Ethan Small be the guy that eats the middle innings? Potentially. But why do you want another soft-throwing lefty? Now, soft, I'll take the foul on this one. He's not that soft of a thrower. Throws 92, 94. Brent Suter throws 88, 89. And if Bill Schroeder's listening, he actually talked about it the other night saying, oh, well, Brent Suter's dad catches for him. He doesn't throw too hard, you know, and everyone was kind of like, wait, you're saying Brent Suter's a soft tosser? No, Brent Suter's not a soft tosser. He's a big league pitcher, and he gets guys out in his way. And Ethan Small is a guy that doesn't blow you away with fastballs, but fools you with deception, changeups that fall off the table, changes his delivery times. Could it work in the bullpen? Potentially. But do the Brewers want to do that with him? Remains to be seen. Is a call-up imminent? I don't think so, but maybe by the time you're listening to this, he's already called up, and I sound like an idiot right now. Next question. This one comes from Michael. I talk about this a lot. What makes Milwaukee the best pitching staff? And looking into the numbers, there's conflicting evidence that there are numbers that say they're just a mediocre pitching staff, their numbers say they're a really good pitching staff, their numbers say they're the best pitching staff. In my opinion, it goes beyond just the numbers, and it goes with the eye test. And with the eye test, I'm going to start with the eye test, and then we're going to jump into the numbers. The eye test is, let's talk about your three-headed monster. Burns, Woodruff, Peralta. You know what? Let's make it a four-headed monster with Lauer. Hauser's been up and down. He's still a very, very good starter. But four great all-star caliber starters in your rotation right now. Most teams would love to have that. I would say that, you know, until Jacob DeGrom returns and until Max Scherzer now returns, he's out for the next 6 to 8 weeks with an oblique strain. Until those guys return, there really isn't any other staff that can say that they have four all-star capable pitchers. The Yankees are probably the only one closest. The Yankees, of course, with Gerrit Cole, Nasty Nestor, man, what a start it's been for him, for Nestor Corridor. Other guys on the Yankees, they still got Jameson Taillon, who's been pitching well. Jordan Montgomery's been up and down. Luis Severino. We've also seen very, very little of the guy whose name is expecting me, Luis Gil. Luis Gil, remember, stormed onto the scene last year, was a great debut. He's in AAA right now. But they've got a pretty good staff going right now. I would say they're the only starting staff that can rival what the Brewers have got going on. But you have to remember, too, Gerrit Cole is signed long-term. He's been doing this for a lot longer than Corbin Burns has been doing it. Brandon Woodruff has been doing it. Cole is over the age of 31, whereas both Woodruff and Burns and Peralta are all and Lauer are all still in their 20s. That's pretty crazy cool of what the Brewers have got going on right now with the eye test in the starting rotation. Now let's talk about the bullpen, comparing them to the Yankees. Aroldis Chapman, great closer, don't get me wrong, but Josh Hader's the best closer in baseball. You go to the eighth inning. Well, you got Clay Holmes has been pretty good this year for the Yankees. Devin Williams is still really darn good. Seventh inning, Jonathan Loaisiga for the Yankees, Brad Boxberger for the Brewers. And then the rest of their guys, Michael King, Chad Green, they're very right-handed heavy, too, as far as their leverage innings goes. Miguel Castro has had some nasty two-seamers this season. For the Brewers, Trevor Gott is really it. Then the Yankees take the advantage. So I understand the criticism of, wait, how do you still say the Brewers are the best pitching staff? Well, let's jump into the numbers, okay? Let's jump into the numbers. Before we jump into the numbers, I want to tell you about BetOnline.net. Our partners, they're the number one source. Number one. For all your sports betting needs and information. You're going to find odds, news, developments, basketball playoffs. Wow, the Celtics turned it on yesterday against the Heat. Major League Baseball scores. You got fights coming up. You got the NFL futures on there as well. NHL playoffs are rolling on right now too. BetOnline is your continued source for all your sports wagering information. They've got live betting, playoffs, esports, and more. You can go to their website today. Again, it's betonline.net. BetOnline is available on your mobile device as well to learn all about the trends and get in on the action. BetOnline is where the game starts. Let's dive into the numbers, and I promise not to completely bore you with what these numbers are going to be reading about for the Brewers. So as a overall staff, they're ninth in ERA. They're in total for WAR, they're tied third in WAR at 6.0, according to Fangraphs, or their overall staff. Their FIP is fielding independent pitching, is fourth best in baseball. And then to the advanced stuff, XFIP, expected fielding independent pitching. They're first in baseball, meaning that they're marginally better than what their actual performance has been as far as batted ball data, or as far as swing and miss data, walks, strikeouts, home runs allowed, things of that nature. And then we go just to the starters. They have the third best WAR among just starting pitchers. They have the seventh ERA among starting pitchers, but they have the best Sierra rate, which is another kind of like a FIP. I'm getting lost in the acronyms here for you. I can already hear you saying, "What, Dom, what are you talking about?" The way I'm getting at it with all these numbers is the fact is the advanced numbers really still like the Brewers. And while the ERA traditional numbers aren't there right now because of the clunkers that we've seen this season, remember the advanced numbers tend to level things out the rest of the season. We're still only 38, 39 games into the season. There's a lot more to go, 120 more games. We're barely a fourth of the way into the year. So these numbers are going to level out. I would imagine that ERA of 3.49 will drop eventually. And I still believe they're the best pitching staff in baseball because simply of the swing and miss stuff. They have the most strikeouts in baseball. They have the second most quality starts. They have the best walk to strikeout ratio in baseball. Their relievers have a 2.1 WAR this season. They have 17 saves, which is the most in baseball, which means they're winning the close games that they're supposed to when they have the lead. And yet their bullpen ERA is 3.69. Again, another example, this stuff is going to level out when the sample size gets bigger. I still believe they're the best pitching staff in baseball. And the other beauty is that aside from Jhonndale Gustave and Jake Cousins, they've been really healthy. They've been very healthy. I'm knocking on wood. Okay? I did it for you. Great question, though, from Michael. I do appreciate that question. It's a fair critique. Last couple of mailbag issues here. Left-handed pitching with and without Andrew McCutchen. You know, I was surprised by these numbers. The fact is, they're virtually the same team with and without McCutchen because, remember, they got off to such a cold start facing left-handed starters. Now, with the win on Wednesday, the Brewers are now 5-8 against left-handed starters this year, but they're hitting just .216 total against left-handed pitchers, a sub-300 on base, a sub-400 slugging for just a .659 OPS as a team. A reminder on the overall season, Andrew McCutchen, not just against lefties, is hitting .240, only a .291 on base, but he was getting hot toward the end of that road trip against Pittsburgh and then was getting things going against the Reds and in Atlanta, but then he got COVID, so he's been out lately. He's one of his two homers have come off of a lefty. He will be a welcome addition back to the lineup facing left-handed pitching. And the Brewers, they're just 7-6 without Andrew McCutchen in the lineup this year. And for a team that's 23-14, to be 7-6 without your DH, that tells you a lot of what he's been providing for the Brewers this season. Love that question. And finally, from behind in the count, a guy who chirped me earlier in the year talking about saying that I was boring. Well, I'm a little boring, but now you want to ask me questions on my mailbag episode and a silly question about polar bear measurements and home runs? Come on, man. Come on. What are we doing? Anyway, to answer your question, he asked a silly question. Can you add up all the home runs and measure them in polar bears? Meaning if it was 7 feet long. I'm not going to add up every single home run on this. But if you want to know the longest home run of the year, Roddy Tellez, 453 feet. That's 64.7 polar bears, in case you were wondering. Shout out to Pete Alonso. He had a walk-off the other day for the Mets as well off the Cardinals, which made everybody happy here in Milwaukee. That's it for this mailbag episode. Thanks for listening. Off days are a little weird. I hope you enjoyed it. Nationals are in town, 3 games. Should be a fun weekend. The Willie Adames bobblehead coming up as well as we approach the anniversary of Willie Adames Day. That'll be on Sunday, May 22nd, of course, the day that the Brewers acquired him. First 35,000 fans will be getting the Willie Adames claws up. And tomorrow night, it's the I Love the 90s tour with, of course, Vanilla Ice, of all people. And then you've also got Naughty by Nature, Rob Bass making appearances too. That's tomorrow night. So have some fun with it. This will be a fun weekend. Nationals in town before the Brewers go on the road for the next 11 games. Follow us on Twitter at Locked On Brewers. Follow me on Twitter at Dom_Catronio. And go ahead and subscribe to our YouTube page. Drop a like, drop a rating wherever you may. Drop a comment. Thanks for listening. I'm Dominic Catronio. We'll see you next time. Until Monday, keep on swinging.
You are Locked On Brewers, your daily Milwaukee Brewers podcast. Part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.